Another historic one, Andrew. An interesting thing to point out for you here on this one. All right. How do you like this little fact, right? This is only 5 years before one of the major match-fixing scandals relegates Milan to Serie B. That was 1980. They were done for that. And also, 43 years before two Athlone players didn't show up to their Dublin hearing for match-fixing charges. There you go. Long before any of that old guff, anyway, there was the absolutely unbelievable historic event of Athlone versus AC Milan on October 22nd, 1975 in the UEFA Cup second round. So, this is a beaut. Athlone were only elected back to the league in 1969, so they'd spent about 41 years out of the league. The arrival of Andy Fogarty as manager is supposed to be the key part of the story, it seems. That was in 1974. He was a former Irish international. He was a former Sunderland player. He returned to Dublin after playing. He played briefly under Clough, actually, at Hartlepool, and apparently was Cloughy's best mate back then, best man at his wedding.
Not bad pedigree, is it?
No, and I'd like to hear the toast. I kind of like Clough, you know, was a man who went off on some serious tangents, and if there was going to be a man who's going to give a speech, you know, he'd want to have a bit of that about him. What was it? I'm a little bit of an idealist, but I want to be like me. Was one of Clough's finest. Also, he punched a load of fans once. But this isn't about Brian Clough. Andy Fogarty apparently was very strict, but they all loved him by the sounds of it. He had very high standards, serious motivator. Sounds like he wouldn't have lasted too long now in terms of tactical. Although,
definitely an old school manager.
Very much. Well, yeah, in the 70s, so he'd have to be. But they mounted a bit of a title challenge that 74 season. They were ultimately beaten by Bohemians. 9 points, I think it was, in the end, so it wasn't really that close a running, but they still had finished second in the table for the first time, and they got into the European draw, the UEFA Cup, as a result. The first round draw brought them up against
Norwegian side.
Norwegian side. Vålerenga on the outskirts of Oslo. And when you take into account, right, you think modern day, you're looking forward to who you get in the European draw. Quite often people are like, oh, we want something to beat. Back then, for Athlone getting involved, you think big ties, there's Barcelona, there's Marseille, there's Liverpool.
Vålerenga
is who you get. You're like, oh, God. But Athlone went on, won it. So I suppose in that way, it turns out to be a positive one. They get a few quid in their pocket, I'm sure, back then for the beating them 4-2 in aggregate. And then as a result, they're drawn against AC Milan. And of course, Milan would have had a serious pedigree back then, Andrew. Load of internationals, a couple of serial winners. You'd have Gianni Rivera. He was a European Footballer of the Year in 1969. So you're talking about him, you know, at that level when Athlone are only getting brought back up to the league. Albertosi, the goalkeeper. He was Italy's World Cup goalkeeper a few years before. And
namesake of Rodrigo.
Indeed. Yeah. Rodrigo Albertosi. Middle name Albert, of course. But he obviously is going to come back and feature Albertosi in just a little while in this story, as everyone already knows, presumably, if you're listening into this. Notable at that time, actually, there's two elements of that coaching staff that you'll at least know one of them.
Giovanni Trapattoni.
Indeed.
I
know.
Not that young.
I know. But Cesare Maldini, Paolo's dad, was on the coaching staff as well.
Ah.
Yeah. So another little interesting one. And Trapattoni, I've tried to look up a couple of comments he would have made of this. Obviously, he became the Ireland manager later on, so he was asked about it. I know he opened a pitch up in Athlone 2011, I think it was, and there was a couple of quotes, but nothing stand out. But it took a little bit of... I found in the end a quote, and they're asking him about the pitch. And he says, I remember the pitch. I'm not doing my impression like John Delaney did at the other show. There weren't many stands, all the people in a line along the side of the pitch. The day was a very beautiful experience. It sounded like they kicked lumps out of each other, so I'm not sure that's quite true. But I wonder, is this game alone, the 1975 game between Athlone and Milan in St. Mel's Park, and this traps, is this where There Is No League in Ireland has come from? Remember, he was There Is No League in the Ireland, or whatever it was, whatever way he said it. I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if that's his only League of Ireland experience.
But they drew.
Yeah, they did draw.
They drew against AC Milan.
That's it.
A world powerhouse of football.
Gave you a scare back then, Trap, didn't they? They gave you a scare back then. You're still saying there's no league. It brings us to the day, as I said, on the 22nd of October. And that now famous photo of the Italian team getting off the bus. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, set the scene, I suppose.
The look on their faces.
Yeah, like set the scene for those who maybe wouldn't. Surely most people who know about the story have seen it, but do you want to give people a little insight? Well, it's
they're getting off the bus.
The team looks,
yeah. the ground wouldn't be in the greatest sort of condition. So without using a bad word here, but just a field of mud, basically.
And it looks like they've gone to Oxygen wearing Gucci shoes. You know what I mean? Like, the ground, it's like a music festival. The ground is about to swallow them up. It is sludge that they're walking from the car park, and they're all done out in these beautiful suits and big, long, kind of brown jackets. And
could you imagine if they were all in white suits?
Yeah, I know. Well, the brown jacket would have been a sort of beigey looking thing. So I was like, that's round. That is round. That's not, you're not getting away with that. Another little brilliant insight from you, actually. They would have had a couple of requests, obviously, going over. They would have preferred, obviously, not to play in St. Mel's. It was looking to be transferred somewhere else. But there was talk at the time that one of the... Well, essentially, Milan brought over their own chef.
Oh, you know, yeah, no.
Did you hear that story?
No, not that story.
Requested about 50 fillet steaks because obviously they wanted it. They were on a diet. They were on this... Imagine asking your opposition for fillet steaks. Now, 50 fillet... Be very trusting, first of all.
In Westmead.
I know, bringing out them. Well, apparently there was a big panic about it, but like, imagine, like, it's a little bit trusting. You'd be like, just mess around with those steaks, leave them out for a week, then give them to them, and you can add to the muck that's in the car park.
Don't think they were that cynical.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just saying, it's probably, shows the good spirit the game used to be played in and what it's done to us recently. 30 minutes into the game, Nevia Scala brings down Terry Daly, and up steps poor old John Minnock, who,
will never live at this
time. No, the poor guy never seems to have been left alone. He seems to make a joke of it now, which is nice. I've heard him talk a little bit about it. But John Minnock steps up, take a penalty. And you can hear John talking about the clip. It's really gutting when you hear him talk about it a lot, because you're just like, I can't imagine, like, your own little personal hell that you can't get out of. At least if you're on a bigger stage, you have time to sort of wash that away. Oh yeah, but then down the line he did this, or then this other time he did this. This is just the example. John Minnock steps up to take the penalty, and he said, it made me famous for the wrong reasons. Even last week I was down that low and the people wrote about it. They're like, oh, John, no.
I think he had a penalty against Shamrock Rovers the week before.
This is it. I think it was a Cork team. I'm not sure.
Couldn't tell you, but
they sent a scout.
Yeah, they sent, well, a scout when, we don't really know, where was it actually a scout or was it actually an Italian lad? But
yeah,
that could have been a scout. But he went one way and then he was like, oh yeah, I'll go the other way because, he was there last week and he saw me.
Yeah, so, but this is the thing, he says he thought about that, but he didn't actually do it. It was to the keeper's right, so his left, and he usually did that apparently. But he said according to him, they'd seen him take either one or two penalties in a couple of weeks building up to it. And apparently John says, I thought about putting it to my right, to the keeper's left, but he always put them to the keeper's right. So he ended up doing it again. He should have changed it on his way up, although they always tell you not to do that, don't they?
No, they don't. No, you never change.
Never
spot.
Change.
Never
but
change it.
It's not only that, he just didn't get a connection on it. Now, Albert Hosey, look at him diving for the save. He's a big guy, big, big goalkeeper, and obviously a class goalkeeper, so you're going to need to hit that well. But it didn't work out. Obviously Minnock missed the penalty. Now the nice little thing about that is I'm not sure what show it was on, I saw it on YouTube, they have John reenacting the penalty with his son who went on to play for Harps. I think he was a defender though, so you're like, come on John, that's not World Cup goalkeeper, John, save that. Your son, he was a fullback.
Same thing.
Exactly. But
try say that to Ollie Horgan.
Yeah, it is one of those really hard things for someone to move on about. But I did, to be fair, I heard a clip of him talking and he's talking quite lighthearted about it. He clearly did move on. He was talking about his young fella tipping him a horse once in a pub, and he takes out his glasses to see it. And two boys, I think he was saying two army boys in the pub, saw him and they went, ah, it's a shame he didn't have them on the day of the game. We're like, oh, God, a man can't get a tip on a horse without getting hassled. But he sounds like, he's having a laugh about it. Now,
I went down to a bakery down in Kerry. There was a family bakery.
John the Baker?
Yeah, not Pat the Baker, John the Baker. And I ran a bakery for a couple of years.
So any good?
I didn't bake. I'll tell you, some of the best principles I've learned came from running that bakery. I remember going down the first week, there was £100,000 owed to the sheriff. And the health inspector was in within 2 weeks saying he was going to close the place. So I told the health inspector he wanted to lose 40 jobs in Kerry. That was his business, he lived in Kerry. I think it was a bit ballsy, maybe, And the sheriff, I wrote 10 post-data checks out for a year, 10 grand a month. And thankfully, they all cleared. the one thing I've learned, like, we built the stadium, the Viva Stadium, when I got involved with the FAI. I think the same business principles apply to any business. So I didn't know how to build a stadium. I didn't know effectively how to run a pub. I knew the other side of the pub, like any young lad.
And then we go on, it ended 0-0. Apparently, like, I mean, the talk of the game, if you go and you can find a few reports on it, I think the Irish Post had a great one, actually. But, you know, it sounded like Athlone were the better team. The thing about that, though, is it instantly makes me think of Denmark-Ireland recently, where, like, yeah, we were the better team, but we were the better team because Denmark let us be. You know what I mean? Milan love a draw. All of the Italian sides back then just were happy. Like, look, don't lose away in this mad-looking ground where there's, like, mud everywhere and, you know, Trapp is clearly saying, it's unruly. There's people right there and, you know.
It's professional pride, though. You have to win every game, you know?
Do, but the Italians didn't. Professional pride. We mentioned the match-fixing stuff at the start that was following the years, and I'm not saying that's something to do with this, but you know what I mean? That's not always the case. We had that look on it. The Italians very much loved a manky, scoreless draw, and then they were like, oh, I'll beat them in our place. And that's, you know, that's what transpired at the second leg, and the San Siro was scoreless until around the 60th minute. Yeah. That's, you know what I mean? That's,
by all accounts, Athlone were well in the game.
Yeah,
until then,
150 minutes of football where Athlone and AC Milan were scoreless. Even now, the state Milan are in, that would be unbelievable, the state Athlone are in. Milan kicked on, won a 3-0. Apparently, it was a bit of a disastrous mix-up that led to Milan getting in, and then you're in trouble because, you know,
you have to go for it,
and then they just picked them off the break, which is, again, a classic Italian move. Another really unfortunate thing about this squad is we didn't really get to see them go on become a real force in the history books, because Andy Fogarty left about 4 months after this, after a dispute with the board, and some of the players seemed to follow him out. So, like, relatively, you know, for such a huge result at the time, and such a huge draw, I mean, we didn't even touch on what that probably would have been like to be living in Athlone at that point.
That'd be amazing. Like, even, I think it was about 10,000 people there. Like, could you imagine, even thinking about it now, like, could you imagine if, like, a team like AC Milan came for even a friendly or something, say to your, I don't know, maybe Shamrock Rovers, Bohemians, if they came there, could you imagine the buzz that'd be around the place?
I mentioned the music festivals earlier. I'd say it's like living around Slane when they have, like, you know, Eminem coming and everyone just piles down. You just see people walking in your back garden. You're like, where have you come from? On their way to and from Slane. I'd say that's what it was like. Just probably absolutely crazy. Is it the greatest ever League of Ireland result in Europe? Because it's really hard pressed. Like, in terms of the caliber of the team. Now, I should counter this with the fact that if you look from the 60s to the 2000s, this is the one decade Milan didn't win a league. So Milan won leagues in the 60s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s. This is the one decade they didn't.
Yeah, but it's at Lone Town against AC Milan.
I know. I'm not sort of ragging. Look, they did win a Cup Winners' Cup in 73. They won some Italian Cups in there as well. But I'm just saying they were not the force they were. Exactly. Yeah. I don't think they were even in the top three if you look around that time.
I think
there was a fair few Italian teams surpassed them, but you would probably argue any Italian team at that point probably should have been steamrolling a League of Ireland team.
Yeah, definitely. But then Cork now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but then didn't Cork draw 1-1 against Bayern Munich at home?
Mm. No, yeah, fair one.
Dave Barry scored. So
in the 90s?
Yeah, 91. Yeah. 91, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, yeah, look, it's up there. It has to be up there with some of the best ever. Like, because even the recent ones you would talk about, and they're amazing results, and you talk about, like, Dundalk, you know, battering Rosenborg even, and losing the game. But even if they'd have gone on to win that game, it's not the same. This is another kettle of fish. I mean, Milan beat Everton, you know, a couple of weeks before in the first round.
Yeah, and then, sure, UCD played against Everton as well, and they drew 0-0.
Yeah.
Like, and look, just that's probably, it's incredible. Like, it is. You know,
it's one of those spectacular ones to look back on. And I should just give a quick mention. Athlone Community Radio did an hour-long documentary on this, so it's well worth it. They have a load of the old players talking on it, and it's a great little piece. You hear a lot of different opinions on it, and a lot of how the game could have gone. But I really would like to know from that time what it was like, sort of, as one of those players, if you were local, because obviously they weren't all local to Athlone. Some of them would have been, though, and I heard one or two of them kind of point out you couldn't walk, you know, here down the road without people coming up to you. And I imagine there's a little bit of sort of parish, sort of GAA feel about that, you know, in, like, the big finals this weekend. Can you imagine that with, like, the Milan team? Because obviously they wouldn't have the knowledge of them all, but, like, imagine, you know, say John Minnick walking down the road and they're like, oh, this Albertozzi fella. You know what I mean? It must have been absolutely crazy.
You know, it's the same, obviously, when Longford won the Cups in 2003, 2004. Exactly, I'm going to keep going back to that. But yeah, no, like, even like the players wouldn't have really been from Longford, but like they'd be around the town quite a bit and like they'd be celebrities there, you know, like they won the Cup for Longford. Like I can imagine it's probably on the same level as that, like, you know, but you know, definitely, he probably did have a parachute, especially that it was a provincial town as well, because that loans, you know, it's Westmeath, it's in the heart of the country as well, so it probably wouldn't be the same as, say, if, I don't know, like a Shamrock Rovers or a Bohemians did it, because there'd be one half the city hating you and then one half the city loving you, so, yeah.
Did you ever take a penal?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Any, you know, success rate? Give us a success rate.
I was actually quite good at them.
Yeah, better than John. I wasn't the penalty taker.
Unnecessary dig.
No, I'm just asking. That wasn't I'm saying you were. I was just asking. I've never seen you take a pen. I can't testify to that. I would say, John.
You might see me next year taking one.
I might do. See if I ever get a call up. Yeah. I'm not a penalty taker. You might be stunned to find out. But yeah, no, I can't imagine the pressure that would have gone into a moment like that. In that, look. There's a whole game to talk about there, a whole two games, a whole 150 minutes of scoreless. We should, you know, by the sounds of it, Athlone should have scored apart from the penal. They had chances and chances and chances, which seems bizarre to say. I also love to talk about in the match where they're kind of like, you know, oh, they were very rough, that Milan crowd. And you're like, imagine nowadays, like any, you know, sort of, say an Italian team coming over here. We, you know, Ireland are the ultimate, like, oh, they're going to put it long and they're going to give us a physical game. And so you have Strachan talking about our DNA of, you know, the caliber of players our DNA produces. Can you imagine any Italian dude going over here now? I'm like, geez, those lads are a bit rough. Calm down, lads. Absolutely. Out of order.